following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
How long is your next cup of coffee going to last? 45 minutes? An hour? Listen, 1 5-hour energy lasts for several hours. Take one in the morning to feel alert past lunch. Take one in the afternoon to feel energized into the evening. 5-hour energy is packed with B vitamins and nutrients to make it last. Plus, it has zero sugar and 4 calories. The choice is yours. Cup after cup of coffee or 1 5-hour energy. For more information, go to 5hourenergy.com.
Individual results may vary.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you? There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yep.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com,
as well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from Cunningham's in our first Husker lunch of the year. We're glad to have you along. Doug Duda along with Randy Bushcutter. We're going to be joined by UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires. Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report is going to join us on the program as well today. And we're also going to be chatting with Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star. Of course, he will be speaking here at Cunningham's from 12 to 1, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, Home Federal Bank, and Graham Tires, your store next door. Of course, the beauty of this is talking Husker football. We'll be able to get things going with a recap of Southern Miss. Then we'll preview UCLA, already seeing some of the national pundits thinking this could be that upset game of the weekend. Everybody's got to pick that one upset. I've already seen a couple of people, including Gene Wojciechowski of ESPN, say this could be the one. So we'll see if that's exactly what happens or not. Nebraska only a 5-point favorite. Of course, previewing UCLA and then answering all your questions. So come down for lunch and join us here at Cunningham's in downtown Kearney. And Randy, I'm a little surprised that UCLA is only a 5-point underdog.
That always sounds like that sucker bet whenever you have that small point spread that you really kind of anticipate being much bigger than it is. And I was floored. I think it should be at least 10 more points higher than that. I think it should be more than 2 touchdowns than Nebraska's favorite in the game.
Well, that's kind of what I thought, too, but what do we know? That's why the lights are on, right? So this could be a highly anticipated closer game than many people think, although they are promoting fireworks and giveaways because they don't think that there's going to be a lot of people UCLA-wise at this football game. I have to ask you, Randy, and it might have been as recent as Minnesota, but when's the last time Nebraska played in front of a non-sellout crowd? Because it sounds like that's going to be the case, even if there's 30,000 Husker fans in Los Angeles on Saturday.
I can't come up with a time. Nebraska travels so well, and there's always it's a big game atmosphere whenever they're there. I don't recall. I think Minnesota's probably it. It has been a long, long time since they were the biggest ticket in town, and that just gives you an idea of just how football is in L.A. I mean, I think USC is it, and there's a reason that two NFL teams have moved away from Los Angeles. There's a lot to do in that city, and apparently I don't know what else there is to do Saturday night besides watch college football in a beautiful atmosphere, but apparently there is.
Well, obviously that's the Nebraska fans. I chuckle when the Nebraska fans have things going on like that. They say, well, how come that wouldn't be sold out? It's the first home game, Jim Mora. We're all fired up. We had a big win because it's September Saturday night in Los Angeles, people, and it's 4:30 actually Los Angeles time, so give them the middle of the afternoon. If you're not a college football fan, then you're going to have all kinds of problems as well. So we'll see what goes on Saturday night and get ready for a great football game. So we're going to take an early break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Rick Squires is going to join us, have a little Loper Link, Bob Jensen, and the highly anticipated. You've been listening all morning. You've been listening all week. You've been listening for 3 weeks. Everybody's predictions for the NFL season. We're going to tell you actually what's going to happen coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Some auto shops, it can feel like you're dealing with a bunch of who are just out to get you. But not every auto shop sees its customers like it. Right now at Sears Auto Center, buy three, get one free on qualifying Goodyear Weather Handler Fuel Max, Falcon ZE912, or Dunlop Rover HT tires. Plus, save big on all tires. This is service you can trust. This is Sears Auto Center. For more offers, stop by or visit searsauto.com. Free tire of equal or lesser value. Ends 9/6. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
In the nation, trees fall, traffic lights fail, ceilings come down, and brakes lock up. And when the you-know-what hits the fan, Nationwide Insurance hits the ground running. Because you're not just our first priority, you're our only priority. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Call 1-877-NATIONWIDE today.
Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio, subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
It begins Friday.
I like the Bears big at home.
Give me the Steelers. They're going to win this game outright.
The tradition lives on for another season. The
Eagles are going to win this one in a blowout.
Wrong, 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 wrong.
It's the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
They're getting 4 points in Houston? Ha, 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 ha. I'll take that in a heartbeat.
For our head-to-head matchup, I'm going to say Houston, we have no problem.
It's Mike and Mike in the Morning's exclusive presentation of the
Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
Only on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night, we get back to football when the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys kick off the 2012 season. Hi, everybody. This is Boomer Esiason of Dial Global Sports. Join Kevin Harlan and me for all of the action of this NFC East rivalry. Will Eli Manning and the defending Super Bowl champion Giants start off strong? Or will Tony Romo and the Cowboys make a statement on the road? Tune in to find out. If it's opening night, it's right here.
Giants and Cowboys, Wednesday night at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Mostly sunny skies today. Gusty north winds developing at 5 to 15 miles per hour. A high temperature reaching to 83. Tonight, under mostly clear skies, we're going to head back to a low of 50. Wind shifts south at 5 to 15.
Right now, it's 70.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live at Cunningham's for our weekly Wednesday Husker Lunch. Come on down and join us for the Husker Lunch today. And from 12 to 1, Steve Sipple on hand answering all your Husker questions, recapping Southern Miss and previewing UCLA. Bob Jensen's going to join us as well for Huskerland Prep Report. But right now, every Wednesday also means our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today, and by Garrett Tire Trend and Appliance. They have 24-hour road service if you need it, tire repair and service, tire mounting and balancing, alignments, and everything you need. You can see them online at GarrettTire.net. Well, the football team will have their home opener against Emporia State at 2 o'clock. Randy Bushcutter joining me, Doug Duda, on the show today. A very important game, too, Randy. We talked with Coach Daryl Morris yesterday.
unfortunately, UNK hasn't been in this position in a long time, and one of the reasons is because they're in the MIAA. We talked through the offseason how they were top-heavy on this schedule. It was kind of an unfair schedule. If Husker fans thought they got a tough schedule into the Big Ten, UNK got rolled under the bus here because the four toughest opponents on their schedule, I believe, are these first four opponents. Emporia is the only one that's not rated. It's the home opener. It's going to be an important game because number one and number five are the next 2 weeks.
Well, because of their loss, and they played well enough to win in Topeka against Washburn because of that loss, now they have to steal a game, and they have to absolutely hold serve on their home field. They cannot lose to Emporia. That 2 weeks in the season, you can't say would absolutely end their playoff hopes, but it certainly would make it much more difficult because now there's going to be four teams in MIAA that are going to make playoffs probably, and now you'd have to be that fifth team. If you go 0-2 in the conference, now you're going to have to be that fifth team, and you're going to have to run the table, and then you got to beat number one and number five team in the country, and in successive weeks, and then win out from that point on,
and that's going to be on the road.
Yeah, and that's going to be awfully tough to do. If they got to right the ship a little bit, not that they played well, and probably a game that they should have won, but they absolutely have to win on Saturday, in my opinion.
And the kickoff is set for 2 o'clock. The soccer team has their home opener tonight against Midland at Foster Field, and they are 1-1 on the season. The volleyball team will host their fall classic Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And just back under the tan lights of Hilo, Hawaii, the head coach of the UNK Lopers, Rick Squires, off to a 3-0 start. They get bumped to number 2 in the country. So all kinds of pressure is on this coaching staff here at UNK.
He looks like he's about to crack under the pressure,
right,
too.
Coach, congratulations on the start. You got to have a little bit of fun, but you took care of what you needed to do, and that's winning 3 matches, dropping only 1 set.
Well, it was a great trip for us, and you're just never quite sure how some of these things are going to go. Obviously, everybody's really excited to go to Hawaii, but, you know, logistically, it's difficult. It's a 5-hour time difference, and, you know, you're 3 legs to the flight to get over there, and it's early in the season. We got some new faces out there, and you're just never quite sure how you're going to play, and you want it to be a good trip, not only from a competitive standpoint, but you'd like the team to have some fun while they're over there, and we were lucky enough to accomplish just about everything we were hoping for, which was to play well, get some wins, and enjoy the trip, and so it worked out great, and we're glad to be back and starting to get ready for our weekend tournament.
What did you do to get your legs underneath you? Obviously, it worked, whatever it is you did. But, again, that 5-hour time difference feels a whole lot different when you're playing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, when you play at 7 over there, you're playing at midnight your time. And, you know, we went over a day early. We flew into Kona and tried to spend a little time over there. It's a little different side of the island. And you know, we played our first match in the afternoon, which was a little easier to do. But, you know, I guess the good thing was Augustana was in the same boat. You know, they came over at the same time we did. They actually played the night before, and we got to watch that match. So they might have had a little bit of an advantage in that they had played one already. But we got off to a good start. We didn't make a lot of errors. And then we got some confidence by beating really a good Augustana team. If they finish 7th in the Northern Sun this year again with the team they have, I want no part of the Northern Sun. I mean, they have some players. And so I think they're going to win a lot of matches this year, and it was a great test for us. And then Hilo on their home floor, a younger team, had a couple of weapons, but we had them overmatched in some areas. You know, we played well enough to win, played 2 really good sets, then kind of let our guard down and got beat a set. But again, at their place, tough crowd, you know, time change, all that stuff. You know, officiating wasn't quite what we were hoping to see in that match. But overcame those things and regrouped in 1-4 and then had a tussle the next day against British Columbia, who, to be honest, I've never heard of them either, and a lot of people probably just look at that score and think, who's British Columbia? But they were awfully good. They were one of the best teams we've played in 10 years. Big, physical, had 2 players from their national team. They get 5 years of eligibility in Canada, so, I mean, they had some fifth-year players. And, you know, that's a team where if we play them 10 times, I'm not sure we win more than 2 or 3. I mean, it was a great win for us and a confidence builder because they were just so talented, very comparable to a lot of the Division I teams we bring in here in the spring. So it was a good win for us and kind of a great feather in our cap to end the trip.
Loper volleyball coach Rick Squires with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, back from Hawaii, 3-0. And it looks like, from everything I'm seeing, it was really a balanced effort out there. You had your stars kind of stand out and do what they needed to do, but nobody had a superstar Herculean effort, but a lot of girls had really good efforts.
Well, no question. We're the kind of a team this year that I don't think we're going to have players on a regular basis put up 15, 20, 25 kills. We're a balanced team. We're not really even a physically dominating team. I mean, we are not going to scare anybody to death in the pregame warm-up. But we have players who know how to play. I mean, our ball control is solid. They play hard. They defend. They work together. We've got a nice mindset. Our middles are still good, which is an important part of the way we try to do things. Katie Sokolowski has made that adjustment to being in the middle, and she gets more sets now. And so between her and Ellie, we're still pretty potent right there. Mm-hmm. Ariel Krolikowski, who is probably the closest thing that we do have to that maybe physically imposing athlete, kind of got it cranked up there on the left. And then Liz McGowan holding the fort down as an outside hitter with Ashley Leitner being out. Surprises people. She's only about 5'7", but she's got a big arm, and she really knows how to play. And then we got some nice contribution from our freshman, MJ Massenet, out of Manhattan, Kansas, who's kind of a gamer, too, and a little sneaky the way she kind of finds a way to get kills and make plays. And so Kaylee Anderson held the fort down in libero position. We served well, and we like how our team is playing, and it should be fun.
Talk a little bit about Kaylee and defensively what you're doing. I mean, obviously, it's easy to pay attention to the kills and the outside hitters and that sort of thing. But defensively, where do you think you are and where do you want to be?
Well, we've always been a real scrappy, defensive-minded team. And one of the things that was a little bit of a concern for us was Liz McGowan is as good a libero as there is in the country when she's playing that position. But we had to ask her to play outside hitter, which means we moved Kaylee Anderson into the libero spot. And so it was a little bit of a concern as to how that would mesh. And Kaylee was just unbelievable. She played as well as we've seen her play since she's been here. She was great in serve receive, made defensive plays. And, you know, against teams like Augustana and even British Columbia, it was the difference. We were just able to defend longer, and I think we frustrated their attackers. I mean, balls that they would hit, that they would expect to be kills and points were coming back, and over time it just kind of wore them down. So it's a strength of our team. I think we also serve it a little bit better this year. We brought in a couple of serving specialists who just come in to serve in Molly O'Brien and Aaron Seeley, who's our backup setter and probably the heir to Jenna. Both have really tough jump float serves. So we were able to keep some pressure on our opponents with strong serving, and that might be an area where we're better this year than we have been in the past.
A couple minutes left here with UNK Volleyball. Coach Rick Squires, you mentioned Ashley Leitner out. Abby Sheath is out with injuries. Where are they at? Will either be back soon this weekend? What are you looking at?
Well, Abby's going to be back a little quicker. As a matter of fact, she was in practice yesterday, hit a few balls. Looks like things are progressing there and might even be available some this weekend. And it would be nice to have her available because she is a physical player who can block and hit, and she's got a little more size at the net. She can play any position. Ashley, probably another week or two before they turn her loose to do anything. It's an Achilles, which is a little more problematic, and they're really trying to be careful with that. But no question, we would love to get Ashley Leitner back. I mean, she's one of those attackers who can catch fire and dominate a match, and we don't have a lot of those. So if we could get her back and healthy, that would be a great boost for us, and we're still keeping our fingers crossed on that.
This weekend, what do you – is there kind of a theme? I mean, you mentioned some of the tough competition coming in, but is there kind of an area that you're talking about with your team that we really need to kind of concentrate on this week?
We would like to become a little more potent offensively. I mean, right now we're playing with just enough offense. I mean, we defend well, we ball control well, but, we would like to – maybe be just a little scarier as an attacking team. So we've encouraged some of our younger players to expect to play a little bit this weekend. It would be nice to get Abby back in the mix somehow. But I think more than anything, it's about continuing to improve. And it's also an important weekend for us because we're playing some regional competition. You know, St. Cloud, Mankato, and Northern State are all regional opponents. And those matches are, you know, as the season wears on, they weigh into the equation significantly as you get to the end of the year trying to get into the NCAA tournament. Mankato being nationally ranked, St. Cloud's 3-1, Northern's 3-1. They play tough competition every weekend in their league. So we want to get off to a good start at home and get some regional wins and put ourselves in a good situation to enter the MIAA.
For the folks, there's volleyball going on all weekend long, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Thursday night matches at 7 o'clock with St. Cloud, and then action gets underway at 10 a.m. Friday. And again on Saturday, they'll get going at noon. You guys are playing the early match at 12. There happens to be a football game at 2 for the Lopers, so you can catch a double dip of Lopers on Saturday. And watching your smiling face on television last night, what's up with these camouflage warm-ups?
That's one of our practice jerseys this year. We kind of let the camouflage speak for itself. It can be, you know, our commitment to one another and kind of playing from the trenches, so to speak. It could be, hey, we're on the hunt for something. I mean, the hunter instead of the hunted. We thought that would just be all kinds of symbolism. And, you know, hey, they don't call me a motivational genius.
John Cook said this week, one other kind of serious question. John Cook said this week that being number one just means that everybody's going to bring their best effort. Well, you're number two. I think everybody's a little surprised about being number two without Haley, even though you've got a lot of talent. Talk about being number two and what that might mean as far as the target on your back and not letting that go to the head either.
Well, we did actually address that yesterday in practice, in that we're happy with how we played, and there's probably a lot of people now ready to crown us champions of something with a number two ranking. But we certainly pointed out that it really is meaningless at this stage of the game, and it's so early that we happen to be sitting at four and a couple teams lost, and I don't know if we should have been four either. So there you go. You move up two spots and replace the teams that lost. So it has no significance on what's going on in this weekend's tournament, other than, like you said, it might cause our opponents to play all that much harder to see if they can do something against the, quote, number two ranked team in the country. So I think we've got enough veteran players who have been around long enough that can keep that in perspective. And we're fortunate enough that we've been in the rankings most of the time, and it's not something you pay a whole lot of attention to. We want to be in there, and we certainly hope our team is good enough to be mentioned in there. And sometimes, you know, you do get up there in the top two or three, and it's hard to ignore it completely. But I think once the match starts, we'll just go play volleyball.
Two, obviously better than 22. It does mean you have respect,
right.
You know, that you're getting some respect. And do the girls get some confidence as a result of that? And do you worry about the overconfidence?
You know, I think for a little while, we really enjoyed our win over British Columbia. I mean, it's hard to describe the kind of a team they were. I mean, we looked at them, we watched them warm up. We kind of read some information about them, and our girls were really excited about winning that match, knowing how good they were. And so it was nice that we had two or three days to really enjoy it, because let me tell you, they were enjoying it. They were saying we were the Canadian national champions and every other kind of thing. You know, I listened to it all the way back. And so, you know, we've had a little time now to bring them back down to earth. And I think they lost a practice drill yesterday to the second side. So reality is back. So we'll get ready to play again.
You want reality? Yes or no, are these teams in your region? Concordia St. Paul.
Yes.
Southwest Minnesota State.
Yes.
Central Missouri.
Yes.
Minnesota Duluth.
Yes.
Washburn.
Yes.
And you.
Yes.
Six of the top seven teams in the nation are in the same region this week. So NCAA, once again, open your eyes.
Thanks
great,
for that.
Great start, Rick. We'll get people out to watch all four matches this weekend, and let's get to 7-0. Let's start at 4-0. I know that's the coach thing, but let's see what we can get done in the next week.
That's the plan. We're looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great weekend of volleyball.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Rick.
That's Rick Squires, the head volleyball coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, ranked second in the country. looking very suave today. We didn't even get into any of the dance moves that he had out in Hawaii. I heard it was pretty calm. He stayed away from most of the girls, except when it was time to coach and get some things done. But the Lopers look really good. Number two in the country, no matter how you look at it, the program in great shape here at UNK.
And it seems like it grows every year. You have a lot of great players they have to replace over time, but they got it going. There's no doubt about it. And it's one of those things, once you build a program, it can be easier to keep it going because now people expect, hey, we're going to be coached well, we're going to play top competition, we're going to be good. And I think that does help bring in better athletes. Getting to that point is awfully tough, and staying there is awfully hard as well.
It is our Loper Link, brought to you every Wednesday by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. Garrett Tires and Treads is a wide variety of products and services that are instrumental to the health of your vehicle. Their friendly service staff will quickly outfit your vehicle with a high-quality tire that is right for you. Check out their tire catalog to give your vehicle the perfect fit. And by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reason, they have the loans. At Charterwest National Bank. We are here at Cunningham's Journal, where there's always something going on, including Saturday night's Husker game, your headquarters for Loper tailgating before you head out to volleyball, football, soccer tonight. NFL opens tonight. The Cowboys and the Giants. The Giants a 3.5-point favorite. Always good specials going on. Come down, watch the games at Cunningham's. And when we come back, we're going to switch over to the high school scene. Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report will join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And our Husker lunch going on. Steve Sipple towards the end of the show, and then live here at Cunningham's talking Husker football from 12 to 1. Come on down, enjoy lunch, talk Husker football, our initial Husker lunch in Kearney for the 2012 season. Back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
What kind of fish you grilling there?
Snapper.
Mm-hmm. That's a football position, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And what kind of fillet is that?
Center cut.
Center cut, you say?
Center's a football position.
Indeed it is. It's almost as if football was created to make us grill. I'm telling you, there are larger forces at work here.
Would that be gravity or stupidity?
It's gotta be gravity.
Grab the Kingsford charcoal on game day because football was made for grilling.
Heroic efforts, respected traditions, the sweet taste of victory. I'm talking about the venerable sport of tailgating. Hi, it's the Herd Colin Coward here, and we're putting to rest once and for all which school tailgates the best. It's Kingsford's Tailgate Rivalries. Vote for your favorite school and get a chance to win the ultimate tailgate trip to a game of your choice during Rivalry Week. Players decide who wins the game. You decide who wins the tailgate. Vote at ESPN.com/Kingsford. And remember, heat up your next tailgate with Kingsford Charcoal.
Farmers, it's time to beat the heat with the best value of the year on a T&L pivot system. Save $5,200 on a quarter-mile pivot and get the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Call T&L Irrigation today or your local T&L dealer, or check them out online at TLIRR.com. Get T&L's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies today. Gusty north winds developing at 5 to 15 miles per hour. A high temperature reaching to 83. Tonight, under mostly clear skies, we're going to head back to a low of 50. Wind shifts south at 5 to 15.
Right now, it's 73.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bush, Cutter with you live from Cunningham's Journal, where our initial Kearney Husker lunch is getting underway at 12 noon. So come on out, have some lunch. They've got so many great items here. You can get bacon-wrapped shrimp, the skewers. Of course, you got to start off with the Journal Bites or any other appetizers are so good. Good barbecue and salads. Try a burger because every day, specialty burger and a domestic draft are only $6.49. Get that or anything off the menu today for lunch and then set back and enjoy Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Of course, he was on Big Red Wrap-Up last night, one of the guests there with Kevin Kugler and the gang going through everything that had happened in the Husker game, previewing UCLA. A lot to be talking about with the injuries, so come on down today. Steve Sipple on hand, and don't forget that it doesn't matter if it's Husker Lunch Wednesday or any day. They're open for lunch. They're open 7 days a week to take care of you for food, for drink, for sports, for entertainment. It's all right here. Live entertainment of the courtyard and on the weekends, of course, inside as well. They've got great acts every weekend. Mike Youssef and the gang always do a great job here at Cunningham's Journal, the Lofton Courtyard on the Bricks, downtown Kearney. It's Wednesday, Randy.
It's time. Who's with us, boys and girls?
Bob Jensen.
Hey.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
Oh, man, does he got game. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's good to see that you finally found somebody worthy of sitting in that other chair, Duda.
Oh, Robert, that was so kind. Thank you.
You can arrive.
He's off the list.
Me or Bob? That's what I want to know.
Well, Robert, let's get right into it because we've always got plenty of football to talk about. But always like to get your initial impressions. The first big week of football where everybody was involved, unless they had that bye week. There were some interesting things that happened in the official week one.
Yeah, there was. I mean, there's some things all over the place, as usual. You know, you start at the top there with Class A, and, you know, I just, there's a lot of really good teams, and but they're just kind of all milling about right now. Nobody's really kind of, you know, granted we played 2 weeks, but, I mean, you kind of just feel like somebody's waiting to really throw the hammer down on somebody else. And there's an awfully big game this week that might go a long ways towards establishing that with Millard South and Lincoln Southeast playing at Seacrest. But the other thing, and this is something else that maybe we'll talk about, but something that's got my attention and something that we've got a story going up here in just the next few minutes, actually, on our website about is Northwest and McCook. And as I said, you know, here we are, just as everybody knew would happen, Northwest and McCook, somebody's 2-0, somebody's 0-2. It's just it's Northwest that's 2-0. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But it just feels like there's a lot of you know, just pawing around. I, myself, last week, I went up and got to take a look at two things caught my eye. I got to see Boone Central, Newman Grove. And I'll tell you what. That is an awfully good football team. That looks an awful lot like those teams that made the finals early in the 2000s. Big up front, got a squatty little strong running back, passed the ball, I guess, a little bit, but that's not really what they want to do. And they looked exceptionally good. They put Pierce in their place. And then I know we've been crowing about Giltner, and Giltner is, you know, Giltner did, you know, to BDS kind of even more than what I think people expected. But the thing is that with St. Francis, it's the same old St. Francis. Osmond was supposed to be a team that was maybe had a chance to kind of pop up and do something. They got popped instead. That was embarrassingly one-sided. I did not expect that. So there is. There's a lot of people trying to find their place right now.
With all the tragedy and everything up in Broken Bow, Bob, you know, a lot of attention, a lot of drama, a lot of interest. And I think a lot of people were rooting for Broken Bow last week. Talk a little bit about them in Gothenburg.
That was awesome. I mean, that, you know, maybe the most overrated or most overused word in the English language is the term awesome. But that truly was awesome. It was an awesome set of events that were set in place when that van crash happened this summer. And a lot of kids got busted up. A couple people lost their life. It was just a horrible tragedy. Well, you flash forward, and people who want to say that sports are just a game are not looking at it any other way than just seeing the game. This was about a lot more than a game. It was about healing. It was about bringing people together with the people in Broken Bow, as I knew they would, having grown up in Custer County and lived in Broken Bow myself. You knew that was going to be the case. It happened the morning after that wreck, and that night you just knew that Broken Bow was gonna bring it. And, this is not vintage Gothenburg. It's not vintage Broken Bow. But none of that really mattered. What mattered was, Broken Bow finally had a chance to go out and play a game and just let it all go. And not only did they do it, they really stuck it to Ogallala. I think I misspoke there. They played Gothenburg this week. But, they unloaded on a team that's, been really, or a program at least, has been really, really good in the very recent past. And, you just couldn't help but just feel great for the players, for the coaches, and the community. Now we can get on with playing football.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here at Cunningham's, our Husker Lunch on this Wednesday throughout the Husker football season. For other reasons, there was some good feelings out there. Carl Tesmer got career win 300. Randy Hubert got career win 200. And then, which is unbelievable, and I always believe you and Stu and Riley and Ken and all the guys and gals out there, but Omaha Northwest breaks that long losing streak. And did I get this right, that they actually did turn it over 10 times and still found a way to win?
Okay, well, let's just say this. That was not a game between eventual state champions, okay? But the thing is that Northwest, it takes a little bit of a history lesson to put this in perspective. Back when we were kids, late 70s, early 80s, Northwest was the place to be. If you were a kid, and of course, people didn't change schools like they change, socks back then. But if you wanted to switch to a school, if you wanted to go with a winner, you went to Northwest, because they were great at everything. The home of Ron Kellogg, the all Big Eight player down at Kansas, and that really was just part of it. All their programs were successful. Well, there's been flight away from Northwest for years. People just don't go there anymore. People don't elect to go there at all. And so it's been kind of a wasteland. I think that may be an understatement. Well, they got a new coach. His name's Tim Clemminger. And Tim comes from a winning background as an assistant coach. He said he was going to come in and instill some discipline immediately. And he thought he had some pieces. He thought maybe he had some people that maybe had not performed to their full potential. And they still don't have nearly enough players, but they did win. And again, that's one of those little puppies and kids deal. You just got to feel good. Northwest gets a win. And as far as Carl and Randy go, those are two of the great guys in coaching. I mean, there's great coaches and they're great guys, and sometimes they're the same people. And that happens to be the case there. Both those guys have, they're proven winners. They know how to make a football team. But, they also have such a tremendous impact beyond that. You can measure an awful lot about a football team by standing on its sideline, because you find out how the players interact with their coaches, how they interact with each other, how they behave, how they conduct themselves. And I'll tell you what, it's a classy deal when I'm in the way on the sideline at St. Cecilia and Aurora. And that goes right up to the head coach.
Well, let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. This comes from number 2 fan, who says Northwest athletic prowess went downhill after the class of 84. I don't know exactly what that means, but we'll let that move along. Randy, some good games coming up this week.
Yeah, and I think one that's getting a lot of attention around here, obviously, Bob, would be Kearney High right in the top 10 and Lincoln Southwest. There's going to be some real talent out there, especially on the Southwest sideline, and a lot of attention to the Silverhawks, and obviously Bearcat fans kind of worried about some of the firepower they're going to face.
What a great setup for Brandon Cool. They don't have a chance. They got no chance to win. They're the underdog. They're kicked to the curb. No way can they compete in this game. Well, of course, that's not true. And there's two reasons for it. I guess one of them would be Brandon Cool and his staff, and the other one would be having McNett play quarterback. He could play quarterback for me. He could play quarterback for anybody in the state. The kid is just a straight, great football player. The other thing is, and this is kind of a two-sided sword, you know, Southwest got a lot of hype. You know, they got the two Huskers. They got, you know, Banderas and a kid from Texas. And, you know, you don't play with just two guys. And they played okay. I mean, you know, considering what you're expecting from Southwest, they played okay. They haven't played great. That does mean there's a possibility they will play great this week. And, you know, maybe things just get completely out of hand. But I kind of tend to think that maybe Kearney's going to be in this game all the way. And I, you know, just one way or another, I'm not, I'll be honest, I don't think there's any way I can pick Kearney to win that game, but Kearney's in a great spot because everybody's talking about Southwest. Nobody's talking about Kearney, and Kearney's won its share of ball games over the past few years, too. So that'll be fun to see what happens.
Just a minute left here with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham's and our Husker Lunch coming up at the top of the hour. Bob, there's always some eight-man games, and I'm not sure there's really any life changers going on this week. So I want to ask you about two more area teams that might be seeing the ships pass going in the opposite directions. And I don't think that's the case at Blue Hill because I think they're still going to be good. But this is another statement game for Donovan Trumbull against a team that has been good for a long, long time. Donovan Trumbull at Blue Hill this weekend.
You know, you've made it, dude. It's just like every other radio show comparing it to yours. You know you've made it when you measure how good you are by beating somebody else. And that's where Blue Hill's at. They got Thayer Central's best. I don't know if Thayer Central will play that good again all year. I do know that Thayer, you know, won four games, got the playoffs last year. But I talked to their quarterback, this Trantijan, last week, and he just said, if we're going to be any good, we've got to beat Blue Hill. And they did. Well, it's kind of the same thing with Donovan. I'll tell you what. In the preseason, I get a report from just about everybody in the state, and I don't think there was a piece of paper I picked up in the months that I worked on that book that didn't impress me more than Donovan's, from the sense that they got a whole bunch of people that have played, and they've got a whole bunch of backs. They've got good size in the line, and really, I think this has got a chance to be the best team Donovan's had under Coach Breckner, and I think they're going to beat Blue Hill, and I'm not so sure. I tell you what, sign me up for pay-per-view if that's what it takes to see them when they play St. Cecilia.
Another team around here, Bob, that I think there's a little bit of interest in, because they're going to be good for a long time probably, is Amherst. They got some really young, talented kids up there that I think they're going to be good in football, basketball, and you know, they always wrestle. I mean, they're going to be awfully solid in a lot of sports for quite some time to come.
Oh, Bush, you got that right. I tell you, of course, now you got to remember, I'm getting my information from top of the hill north of Kearney. They're at 5 points, where Les Adlung, and you know, he's covering up the messes that Tim Manline makes there at the branch, which is real nice of him. But I talked to them about the kids that are coming through right now from like the sophomore class on down in through junior high. It's just unbelievable the number of athletes that they have. Now, it looks like midget football. It does. It looks like midget football because they're not very big. But they're not very old. We're talking about a bunch of 14, 15-year-old kids that did most of the damage the other night when they came all the way back against Loomis. Word has it that their junior high is fully stocked, maybe with more basketball players than Amherst has seen, boy basketball players, than they've seen in a long time. So it's setting up for Amherst to really – really kind of be in charge of the Fort Kearney here in the near future, and it may have started a little bit leaning that way the other night. Now, this is not Loomis's best football team. Dennis Reese is a really good coach. He's a great guy, really good coach, and he's got six starters to replace. And to be completely fair, Josh Earsom, who I think is probably one of the top two or three football players in that whole conference, didn't play most of the third quarter because of cramping. But they did score. Amherst scored 20 straight points to come back and win the ball game, and that won't be the last game they win this year.
Robert, me and Randy and I are about ready to make our Super Bowl predictions. Do you have one for us?
Besides, you know, the game will be played.
I will say that there will be one. You know, there will be one, and the thing that I like the most about the Super Bowl is the food. And really, beyond that, I don't know. I could be like everybody else, I suppose. You know, Green Bay, who puked all over themselves last year, and the Patriots. How about that?
That a baby. That a baby. That's what we love to hear. Robert, we will talk to you this weekend. Enjoy your games. Where are you headed?
Well, actually, I'm going to Seacrest, man, at 4:30. I want to see Millard South, and I want to see Lincoln Southeast. DJ Foster, I'm telling you, DJ Foster, remember that name. He's probably right now the best football player in the state, and he's a junior lineman down there. And then I'm actually going to come back from there, dude. I want to see Sutton play because we haven't talked a lot about Sutton, but Sutton is a really good football team, and they're not getting nearly enough credit for what they've got going. I want to see them, and then I'm going to come into Hastings and watch a little St. Cecilia Ravenna and Adams Central's game against Wilbur. So that's my night.
All right. Well, safe travels, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Very good. Hopefully your visit to Ord was fabulous.
It was warm. It was warm. Hopefully the cramping goes away this week as well. That was a big, big issue, and we'll talk with some of the coaches in the games that we do about that because it was a big issue in the Kearney Catholic Ord game. Randy, you were at Wood River Gibbon. I heard there was a little bit there as well.
A little bit. There was a more serious injury, but I think everything else turned out well there. So
that we'll have to see how that all pans out. I think it definitely affected Kearney Catholic's tempo, and we'll talk with Coach Dave Colley in the pregame on Friday. Kearney Catholic St. Paul, Kearney High, Lincoln Southwest, all three Hastings schools will be covered on the air as well coming up this weekend. It is the Doug and Daddy Show. We always want to thank Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. Check him out online. There's always updated articles and everything you could want to know about high school athletics in the state at Huskerland Preps, and check that out online. NFL selection, Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, live at our Husker Lunch here at Cunningham's Journal. You want to give a little preview? Let's start a little bit.
I feel a little bad because one of the teams that I had that I thought could be in the Super Bowl is one of them that Bob kind of dismissed, and that's the Boys in Green. I like the Packers.
I think is
the toughest. I think without a doubt the NFC is twice as hard as the AFC. I have the Lions missing the playoffs. Lions would be the two or the three seed in the AFC, I think.
I think the distance between the haves and the have-nots are definitely there because you got New England with Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets. Really, do you think anybody's going to challenge them?
No, they have a bye week half their season.
You have to go in with that thought. That
and I'm a Dolphins fan,
Nobody's going to get hurt.
Yeah,
I've watched and listened and looked. Everybody loves Green Bay. I don't. I am this close to picking the Packers not making the playoffs this year. That was a disaster last year. I mean, at the end of the year. It was a great year, but they kind of fell apart. And let's see how their injuries come back. I'm not satisfied that I even got Cedric Benson in a couple of my fantasy things, but I'm not satisfied with their running game. I don't know that their defense can be as good. If anything happens to Aaron Rodgers, looking at the Huskers.
Pick a team.
I'm just saying, though. I think a lot is being put on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders here. And I don't think this team is going to be near as good as it was last year because I think Detroit's going to be better, and I think the Bears are ready to make another move.
Well, they're in the toughest division in football. I mean, there's three teams. You could pick three teams out of that division and think that they're going to win the Super Bowl, and you can make a legitimate case for it.
But you have to be somewhat insane to say that Green Bay doesn't make the playoffs. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Green Bay in, but I warned you.
Yeah, well, half their games are played at Lambeau, and that Lambeau's worth 7 points.
You always get to make some kind of crazy prediction. That's one of the things that are in there. My crazy prediction is that don't be surprised if Green Bay doesn't make the playoffs. And on the AFC side, I'm not going to be shocked if Tennessee gets in the playoffs because what if Chris Johnson does return to what he did and they've got that defense and that division is not all that tough. Everybody's saying Houston, who I like as well. But once everybody says one team, that's when you got to look out. When everybody was saying the 49ers a couple of years ago, what happened? 4-12.
I like three teams in the AFC. I mean, I like. And I think the Patriots would be the fourth or fifth best team in the NFC. Ravens and Texans, I think, are the class of the AFC. And I have the Ravens going to Super Bowl.
They say that there's what the average of the 12 teams that made the playoffs, five of them will not get back. NFC teams that made it last year, Packers, Niners, Saints, Giants, Falcons, Lions. I guess if you're going to leave people out, Giants because they won the Super Bowl, yep, and the Saints because of all the stuff that's going on. But my favorite stat, here's my favorite stat. It made me smile yesterday watching ESPN. The Cowboys and the Giants, since the Super Bowl, since Super Bowl I, the Cowboys and Giants have played each other in Week 1 three times. All three of those seasons, either the Cowboys or the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Really? You're optimistic because you think it could be the Cowboys.
It gives me an 80-20 chance, right?
There you go.
We're going to give you all our picks. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, from our Husker Lunch here at Cunningham's. Come on down, talk some Huskers, listen to Sip, ask your questions, anything that might be on your mind. We'll get it taken care of and enjoy lunch at Cunningham's Journal. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Changing your oil? CarQuest Auto Parts can help. With 5 quarts of Castrol conventional motor oil and a CarQuest red filter for just $16.99. Upgrade to 5 quarts of Castrol high mileage oil and a CarQuest red filter for $19.99. Or 5 quarts of Castrol Edge synthetic oil and a Bosch premium filter for $27.99. Prices after mail-in rebate. See store for details now through October 27th at participating CarQuest Auto Parts locations.
Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Think you've tried everything for your allergies? Well, Allegra works like nothing else. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy, starts working in just an hour, keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It's effective even at 8 times high pollen levels. So remember, you can have it all with Allegra. It applies to first dose only among OTC-branded antihistamines and controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Farmers, it's time to beat the heat with the best value of the year on a T&L pivot system. Save $5,200 on a quarter-mile pivot and get the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Call T&L Irrigation today or your local T&L dealer or check them out online at TLIRR.com. Get T&L's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
High school football continues this Friday on our network of stations and online at PlatteRiverPreps.com. On ESPN 1550, Hastings is at Alliance. On ESPN 1460, Kearney Catholic takes on St. Paul. On 1230 KHAS, Adams Central is home to take on Wilbur Claytonia, and Ravenna travels to Hastings St. Cecilia on the Breeze 94.5 FM. It's more exciting high school football action each and every Friday right here and on PlatteRiverPreps.com.
Mostly sunny skies today. Gusty north winds developing at 5 to 15 miles per hour. A high temperature reaching to 83. Tonight, under mostly clear skies, we're going to head back to a low of 50. Wind shifts south at 5 to 15.
Right now, it's 73.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're back with you at Cunningham's Journal, the Lofton Courtyard, for our initial Kearney visit. We were in Grand Island for the opener last week with Sean Callahan. Steve Sipple took the makeup off from television last night and just look at his natural cool self here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we'll get Sip hooked up. And as we do that, our Super Bowl, our playoff picks. Randy, let's run them down real quick here. NFC East. Again, we do this without talking to each other and invariably.
Well, there's no other team in there but the Patriots.
NFC. You looked at
NFC.
You looked at me and go, I think I'm the only one that likes the Eagles. I said, nope, so do I.
I'm
taking the Eagles.
And again, if they keep Vic healthy, I think they could go a long, long way. But who knows what that's going to happen there.
NFC North, who do you got?
I have the Packers.
I am taking Detroit to win the NFC North. And hopefully they're not too young. Hopefully they're in that mature spot that they can get things done. NFC South, Wow. Carolina, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta. Does New Orleans, with all that hubbub going on, can Drew Brees and that defense pull them through? A lot of people, I've even seen Atlanta in the Super Bowl, a couple of picks, Cam Newton, and then you got Tampa Bay. Finally, that last to first wore off last year.
Hey, that's a pretty solid division. I went with the Falcons. New Orleans, I think, has too many distractions. So I went with the Falcons. And it's a team that's had a few runs in the last few years.
That's what I'm going to do as well. I'm going to take Atlanta. NFC West, I don't know how you can do anything but take the 49ers, and that's what I'm going to do. Just looking back at last year, that went to overtime with the Giants. They were a play away from being in the Super Bowl.
But they snuck up on everybody last year. They won't be able to do that this year, but they play in a division where I think they can pick up a lot of extra wins. That's not a real strong division there in the West. So I think they'll be a one or a two seed.
And now your wild cards. Who are your two wild cards in the NFC?
I got the Bears, and I got the defending Super Bowl champion Giants.
I am going to have to pick Green Bay as a wild card, and why not? We talked before we went on the air. Who most reminds you of the Giants from the situation? The Giants went into last year banged up. Everybody thought they had plenty of talent. If that's not my Dallas Cowboys, and I didn't pick them last year, I am going to pick them this year to get in. I'm going to leave the Giants out. I'm going to leave the Bears out. I'm going to leave the Saints out. And that's pretty tough to do. But you have to pick somebody different.
Absolutely. And that whole Eastern division, you could pick any team in that East, and you can make a case for any one of those teams in the East. Same way you can make a claim that anybody in the AFC West can win the division.
Let's go to the AFC. Let's start in the West. That's going to be the toughest one to pick, I think. Who do you like?
I kind of flipped a four-sided coin, and those are hard to find. I went with the Chiefs.
Wow. Went with the Chiefs. Well, everybody hoping I don't pick their team like Mike Greenberg does. How come nobody's talking about San Diego? Is their defense that pathetic?
They have enough tools on offense that they can outscore a lot of teams. You don't have to be, especially in this day and age with the rules in the NFL, you don't have to be that great of a defense. Witness the Pats last year being a play away from winning the Super Bowl as well. I like San Diego. Like I say, you can pick almost any team you want out of the West.
But I believe in Peyton Manning. Denver wins the tiebreaker over San Diego and takes the AFC West. I've got Houston in the AFC South.
I have the Texans, and I think the Texans might win it all, to be honest with you. They're good enough. That's not my pick, but they're good enough. I think they could.
AFC North, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland. Who you got?
Ravens.
How can you take anybody but the Ravens? I'm going to take Baltimore, and then I've got New England in the East.
Yeah, everybody does.
And your wild cards.
I have Broncos and Bengals.
See, I took the Bengals as well, and I'm taking San Diego as my other one with the – long shot saying, don't be surprised if Tennessee gets in there. Okay, let's cut through the playoffs. Who wins the AFC? Who wins the NFC? Who wins the Super Bowl?
I have the Ravens and Packers in the Super Bowl. And again, Packers not probably very creative. I like the Niners a lot, but I got the Ravens. I think the Ravens are the class of the AFC. I think defense does win it.
Baltimore has it all, and I've been riding their coattails for a long, long time, and I'm going to take somehow them to beat the darlings of Houston and New England. They've got to fall apart sometimes. So I'm going to take Baltimore, although, boy, if Peyton gets you into the playoffs, then they're going to be good enough to go to the Super Bowl. And in the NFC, there's no way I can take the Packers. I'm going to take, as much as I hate this, I'm going to take the 49ers against Baltimore and the brothers coach against each other in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to take the experience with Baltimore to win the Super Bowl over the 49ers.
I like it. I don't have any qualms with that. Both of them have the solid things you look. They have solid running games. They have solid defense. They have good coaches. There's a lot of advantages to that. Again, Packers are a team that did it when they were hurt a few years ago. I think the adversity they faced last year was not having any adversity. And I think they learned from that, and I think the Packers will be a better team.
Once again, my curse is on the Baltimore Ravens. And if you're looking for solid, you're looking at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. And if you need a new vehicle, check out the 2013 Dodge Durango Crew, the Chrysler 200 Limited. How about what's on their lot with the Cadillac CTS Chevrolet Camaro, which is looking really, really good. Looking for a Buick, how about the Enclave Leather? Hassle-free price, great items on thinkmidway.com, and you can see them online. Everything that's on their lot, new, pre-owned car, truck, van, moped, if they've got it, motorcycle, I've seen them on there, they're going to trade with you. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Morning, Steve.
Hi, Doug. I met the
Randy
other
Bushcutter.
Randy Bushcutter.
Right.
Nice to meet you, Steve.
Randy.
Yeah, nice
great
meet to you.
Have
meet
you.
Doug, how you doing?
Well, great to see you here. I saw your smiling face when I got back from work last night. A repeat of Big Red.
Oh, and the taped version.
You're looking good. And,
yeah.
Got a couple questions.
Really good. And a
couple questions.
Face come on, Doug. Why do you have to go there?
You know, you've moved up to the best-looking guy on the panel since we got rid of Daddy. So there you go.
I'll take that.
Injury sip, that seems to be the big story to me coming out of all this. Yes, Taylor, great. Offense, great. Defense has some holes to fill. Brett misses a couple of kicks. But how about the injuries? Where do you think we're setting realistically for Saturday?
Well, Rex Burkhead, I don't think will play. I don't know that. Nobody has said it. He didn't practice Monday, didn't practice Tuesday. So we'll see if he practices today. But, you know, I've heard some things, background stuff, that would suggest he won't play. Cotton did practice yesterday in a green jersey. It might just be a situation with him. How much pain can he withstand? It's cartilage under his ribs. I don't think he has a broken rib.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. Marlowe obviously is out probably till, you know, the bye week's October 11th or 12th, whatever that weekend is. I don't suspect we'll see him till after that.
With Rex potentially being out, where do you think those carries go? There's a lot of talk about who's going to be, you know, where those carries would go when Rex was out. Where do you think they're going to go, and is that going to affect their game plan?
I think Amir will get the lion's share. Amir Abdullah, the sophomore, 185-pound sophomore. But you'll see Hurd and you'll see Cross. I don't know. The question, I guess, the most interesting thing to me would be, Randy, will you see more of Cross or Hurd? I don't know. I mean, we saw a lot of Cross last week, Amani Cross, late. But if the game's in doubt, I don't know. Maybe you go more with Hurd.
UCLA coming up this week. Nebraska, a 5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Some of the national pundits think this could be the trap game. We've been hearing that a lot. What do you think? UCLA showed a lot of offense last week, but they also gave up some ground, gave up some yardage to a Rice team. I would think, just in comparison from one game, Nebraska's opponent was a little bit tougher than UCLA's in week one, obviously. Yeah. What should Nebraska fans be looking out for on Saturday?
You know what I'd look out for? I think the game will be very similar to last year's Washington game in Lincoln. I think it's just take that game and put it on the road. But so, in other words, I think it'll be very difficult. Now, I mean, I don't know that it's not going to be a real difficult road environment, though. Okay. I don't think it will be.
No.
UCLA expects, you know, 50,000, 55,000 fans. There'll be a ton of Nebraska fans there. But I do think UCLA can put up some points. You know, whereas Southern Miss got 20, UCLA might get 35. So Nebraska's going to have to score, but they showed they're capable of that.
A few areas last week of concern for Nebraska fans. You know, defensive line didn't play real well. Brett didn't play real well. What do you think is going to be a continual problem for Nebraska, and which one are we not going to worry about after the UCLA game?
I wouldn't worry about Brett Maher. I think I agree with you on the front four and the front seven in general. I think it can be a solid group. I think it maybe could get to where it's pretty good or maybe very good. But I know one thing. In that front seven, I don't see a big-time explosive athlete. They don't have the dynamic all-Big Ten type player in that front seven. I mean, Compton's, you know, he might get a few votes for all Big Ten. He's maybe that type of player, but the linebackers in the league are so good that I don't think he'd get that. So that's my – you know what? Going forward, that would be my concern, kind of the lack of pop in that front seven.
Well, UCLA is going to go with that up-tempo offense. Are they going to try and be faster than Nebraska was, which was about the most impressive thing that I think a lot of folks had seen in quite a while, Tim Beck and getting those guys calling plays. How does UCLA's offensive tempo compare to what Nebraska's trying to do? Each team trying to get 100 plays run on Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know a lot about UCLA, but I know this. Nebraska has a big advantage at quarterback, and that's big. That's a big thing, as you guys know in football. Taylor's experience versus Brett Hundley's inexperience. Hundley is a good quarterback, and he's a guy Nebraska recruited. A lot of people recruited him. He's from Chandler, Arizona. Michigan recruited him. Oregon recruited him. A&M recruited him. Some big-time programs. And I think he's kind of a big-time player, or maybe. He's not a burner. The guy I'd worry about more is Jonathan Franklin, their tailback. He's not all that big. You know, he's 5'10", 185, but he's a strong, tough kid and fast. So, you know, they're going to run a lot of zone read. And I would think Nebraska would be good at defending that because they defended in practice. The one other thing I'd say, though, Randy, along the lines of that front four, I'd be very concerned if I were a Nebraska fan about the quarterback run after coming out of the Southern Miss game because of what's ahead.
All right, Sip, we'll let you talk to the Husker faithful here at Cunningham's appreciate the time. Enjoy your time out in Los Angeles covering the Big Red.
All right, thanks, guys. Nice to meet you, Randy.
Thanks for coming.
Take care. Sipple, like a Journal star, nobody does it better than the Sip. And that's going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Once again, Doug takes Baltimore over the 49ers. Randy takes?
I have the Packers over the Ravens.
And don't forget, game one tonight, Dallas and the Giants right here on ESPN Radio. Still got time to come down, folks. Husker lunch, order it here at Cunningham's, and enjoy listening to Steve Sipple recap Southern Miss, preview UCLA, and then answer your questions. Every Wednesday here at Cunningham's. And don't forget, vote on our poll question. 61% of you yesterday said Taylor Martinez passing was the biggest storyline from game one. Today, who do you think is going to win the NFC South? Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. For Randy Bushcutter, our producer-engineer Jeff Babel, I'm Doug Duda saying thanks to Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, and to UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires for joining us today. Tomorrow, fantasy football talk with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, and we've also got a special guest to break down UCLA out from the Golden State in California, and all that coming your way tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Go Cowboys!
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.